Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
All right, 5 o'clock fire. Clint Sterner is out. He is on his honeymoon with his lovely wife, but in for him is 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan Wade Smith is in the building. And Wade, the big news that jumped off minutes, hell, seconds before we got on the air, David Johnson is coming back for the Texans. We've talked about, if you missed it, he's coming back, one-year deal, 4.25, fully guaranteed, can go up to $6 million. He was already guaranteed 2.1, but the Texans doubled it. We've talked about what this looks like in terms of the contract, and it seems like he got too much. What do you think David Johnson, what do you think his impact will be on the field? Do you think he's a guy that can still be productive?
He can be productive if you use him correctly. He can be very productive. If you throw him the ball, you line him up at slot receiver, line him up wide and throw him passes. If you throw him the ball out of the backfield, some of the things that they did towards the end of the season last year, he can be very productive. Now, who's going to be throwing him the ball? That's another question. How is that going to affect his productivity? Depending on who's going to be throwing the ball, that's something that you got to keep in mind as well. But David Johnson, on his merits alone, he's a guy that you don't mind having on your roster, and he can be productive if he's used right. The thing for the Texans is, and I think it's 100% on the coaching staff to make sure that this happens, is to use him in the correct way so that it can justify this restructure and him still being on the roster with getting a couple of million dollars extra guaranteed of what it would have been if things would have stayed status quo. Because I look at it like this. The organization wanted to get him down to a more reasonable number. That's a good thing that the organization saw David Johnson for what he produced last year and said, hey, what he gave us last year doesn't call for him to be able to make $8 million this season. So, hey, you got his number down, his cap number down. We don't know exactly what the cap number will be because the details of the contract sound out, and you don't know exactly how much he's going to save the Texans over what it would have been. So I like the idea that they're saving money on David Johnson. I find it kind of odd that they got him at the number they got him at, because I felt like the market outside of the building is not going to be anything that's going to say, hey, this situation in Houston, I can do better elsewhere. I don't see it. And so I think they did him a solid. I think they saved themselves some money, but they really like David Johnson as a person. They like what he can bring to the table in the meeting room. They like what he can bring to the table in pass protection. They like what he brings to the table as a receiver out of the backfield. And so they did him a solid by guaranteeing some of his money, but saved them some money at the same time.
I think that's a good one, because there were we got a lot of texts when we talked about this earlier, Wade, that some people said, well, what does he bring? What do they see in him? What do they – why? And I think when you talked about the aspect of they don't have very many veteran guys at that position in the locker room, and that is a level of importance in the league in your mind too?
Yeah, it's definitely important, because you got to look at the makeup of that room that they have right now. You got a bunch of young players in the running back room. There's no veteran leadership in that room if you take away David Johnson. If you take David Johnson out of that meeting room, who's teaching everybody how to be a pro? Now, of course, these guys are, as one would put, they're tough, smart, dependable type guys anyway, so they're going to do things the right way. But there's ways of learning how to watch film. There's ways of knowing how to go about your business day in and day out with what you're doing on the field, off the field, getting your body back together. They got a bunch of young guys that are really special teams guys first, and they don't have legitimate running backs. I feel like that David Johnson in the building, I feel like the Texans are going to draft a running back. So you're going to want to have that veteran presence in that room. And you don't know what it would cost for you in the situation that the Texans have going on now, what it would cost for you to go out and get a veteran guy that's not David Johnson, somebody that you don't know quite as well as you know David Johnson, that might not have quite the same motivations that David Johnson has. And so you got to factor that all in when you're trying to figure out what's the perfect number to get to that's more reasonable for both sides. I just think that it's a C-minus move. It's a 40-degree day, and that's it's more of a meh type deal.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, J.J. Watt, he spoke with the media for the first time at Arizona, and one of the quotes I found interesting, and this is the last time I'm gonna hang on this, I promise. J.J. Watt said in his press conference today in Arizona, "We had an idea of four or five final teams, and I had shirts for them. I didn't trust the person at the packaging facility that they would put them together the correct way. He had it shipped to his friend's house so information wouldn't leak out." He was very secretive through all of this, even leading up to when he, like, nobody knew when it was coming to an end. He just announced it himself when he was leaving.
Source
the Texas.
Me.
Yeah, and then he announced this when he was going to Arizona. But again, he had four or five of his final team. And I just for the life of me, that's one that maybe I should understand, and maybe I'm being a dumbass. But it is just hard for me to understand. Like, how come the Texans didn't get those four or five teams? How come they didn't get those four or five final teams to try to get salvage something and not just lose J.J. Watt for nothing?
I said it yesterday. I feel like Nick Caserio, that was above his pay grade. I felt like when J.J. said it himself, I went to the McNairs, we met, and I asked them for my release. And they agreed, we mutually agreed to part ways. That tells me that Nick Caserio, even if he might have done his due diligence and tried to figure out some potential options and bring it to the table for J.J., but all of that didn't matter because the McNairs were doing J.J. a solid, saying like, hey, what you've done for this organization, what you've done for this city, you've done everything we've asked you to do and then some. Times 10, times 100, times 1,000, whatever you might, how you might want to put it. So we're going to allow you to just go out and do and find the best situation for you, and we wish you the best. That's how that situation goes. And so you would love to get a third round or fourth round pick, something like that, out of J.J., but that wasn't in the cards because the relationship between J.J. and the McNairs precluded that from happening. And so I'm not really mad at that. You got to understand what J.J. did for this city, for this organization, is something that people will model after for years to come, and the city is ultimately appreciative to what J.J. did. So, you know, the third or fourth round pick, that's icing on the cake if they could have worked that out, but it's not something I'm going to criticize them for at all, because I think I understand the sentiment. I understand what J.J. meant to the city of Houston.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this is a move that I think Texans fans need to take a look at. The Dolphins have informed linebacker Kyle Van Noy that he will be released 1 year into his four-year, $51 million contract. Kyle Van Noy, he spoke and had a statement about it, saying that he was surprised and disappointed. He said he gave his all for Miami, including playing with an injured hip. The reason why I think this is something Texans fans should take a look at, he seems like the build and the makeup, and he has past connections playing with the Patriots, playing there. You would imagine that Nick Caserio may have had a part of him getting there, and Jack Easterby, he was there when Jack was there as well. This could be a guy, Kyle Van Noy, that could be a Texan next year.
No question about it. Listen, Nick Caserio had to have evaluated this guy years ago and brought him into the fold, and he was very successful during his time with the Patriots. To me, this would be a perfect fit for Nick Caserio. Now, is this a situation that Kyle Van Noy wants to come into? Who knows? Are they going to have to pay him a premium to come into this situation? Who knows? Wouldn't surprise me. But Calvin Noy can play. He can play at a high level. I like his ability and his ability to produce on the field, which is, at the end of the day, all I really care about is, hey, can you go out there and ball? Can you give the team a better opportunity to win? The numbers are the numbers. As long as what your numbers do don't preclude bringing somebody else in that can ball, I ain't tripping off it at all. So, you know, Calvin Noy, could he be a Houston Texan? I think that's a strong possibility.
No, it's something to look out for. I know Al McNair said this won't be Patriot Sal, but that's hard not to see the connection there with Kyle Van Noy.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Wade, the Astros, they got busy today. They lost to the Mets. But let's look at the things that jump out. First off, Framber Valdez, he got the start today. He gave up a home run, not a big deal to me. That's a lot of times pitchers are just working on stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if he just threw all fastballs and that's all he worked on. In two innings, he gave up one hit. It was the home run. He had two strikeouts, no walks. And then the other story that people are making a bigger deal that should not be, Miles Straw, he led off today, and he's 1-for-2, now batting 750.
Ooh, 750.
Through three games.
Not 750, but yeah. 750.
And I would urge that should not move you in any way. Miles Straw should not be and better not be the leadoff hitter for this team. I don't care what he does in spring training. Jose Altuve should be your leadoff hitter. So I just want to make sure you keep your mind clear on this Miles Straw stuff.
Hey, man, Miles Straw, let him do what he does during this spring training.
Yes.
Let him get himself right. Give you opportunity to be your nine-hole guy and be your center fielder, but he's not the leadoff hitter for the Astros. Everybody knows that the best person for the job with the way that the roster is currently constructed is Jose Altuve, so I will not disagree with you on that one bit.
But if
you
want to
see him get
confidence,
yeah, you would love that, because think about if you can get him on base in the nine-hole and you got Altuve coming up next. That's a guy that you can get
Bregman
on first,
yeah.
And he can steal, and now you got a guy in running position for Jose Altuve. So that, to me, that works out great for everybody. But him being a leadoff guy, just don't see it. And if he is the leadoff guy, either he magically became a great hitter or things aren't going well for the Houston Astros.
Good for them. They're in the swing of things. Three games in, they're 1-2. But Framber Valdez got his work in, got some Ks, gave up a homer. No big deal there as well. But we got to jump back into the 713-572-4610. People got really emotional when this story came out. Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Houston Rockets, says James Harden will be a Rocket forever. Of course we will retire his jersey. Your thoughts, Houston. Do you think James Harden deserves to have his jersey retired in the rafters at the Toyota Center? We'll get into that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, said James Harden will always be a Rocket, and of course we will retire his jersey. Sleazy was passionate, is passionate. You don't think, and you've had some moment to think about it. That was probably 26 minutes ago. You've had a moment to take a deep breath and think about it. Once again, the question, do you think it is all right that James Harden gets his jersey retired?
Hell no. Because it's something you do to honor a player. It's all about
honor. A player for what?
For what they brought to your team, for their time with your team, for what they did for the city.
Oh, it's what they did for the city is inclusive in all of that.
I mean, you're not going to retire numbers of dudes that weren't good at the game,
or killers, yeah. Like it.
But it's an honor thing, man. It's not an award or an accolade. If you want that, you go to the Hall of Fame. You get awards given to you. Retiring a number should be reserved for someone who didn't crap all over the city they played for on their way out.
What did he do to crap over the city?
James Harden acted like a complete turd, dude. We all saw it.
Now, it was towards the city or towards his teammates? Was he frustrated?
Hey, whenever you're going out there each night and your jersey says Houston on it, and you're acting that way.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah.
To me, that's spitting in the face of the city of Houston.
I think what he did is said exactly what the hell we're watching in the midst of this 12-game losing streak when he said we don't have a chance. And he went out there, and it is coming to fruition of what he said. Oh, Christian Wood's not playing. Okay, we don't have a chance. I want to read you the list of names that are retired, jersey numbers that are retired for the Houston Rockets right now. Yao Ming, stop. Clyde Drexler.
What do you mean by stop when you say that?
If you're telling me that James Harden's jersey's not going to be retired, but Yao Ming's can, I'm going to say stop.
The relationship that Yao Ming has with the city of Houston, maybe not today because of some comments made by Daryl Morey, but before then, the relationship that Yao Ming has with the Rockets organization is impeccable. He brought them a whole continent of fans in the fold. Everything he did for the organization, besides being hurt, he played at a very, very high level. So you retire his jersey.
Sure. And what I'm saying is, that's fine. If his jersey's retired,
right.
When I look at the guy who is a 9-time All-NBA, 6-time first-team All-NBA, former MVP, had probably the best 8-year run that you've had in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's equal to him bringing in China, okay? Clyde Drexler, he was here, 3 years? Calvin Murphy.
He won a championship, and he was part of Phi Sigma Gamma.
Drexler
okay,
so
is now H-Town.
His college part
yeah,
is coming in.
Yeah, he's born and raised in this city. He played college ball in this city, almost won a national championship off of a fluke play. That's Clyde, and he came back and won a championship. Of course his jersey is retired, for sure. Because you're talking of it becomes subjective when you're talking about retiring a number within an organization. Understand where Tyler is coming from. Objectively, James Harden should have his jersey retired. When you're talking about an organization retiring a jersey, though, it becomes subjective. It becomes, how did things go within the organization? Are we at a good place? And apparently, Tim and Fertitta ain't mad at James Harden. That's the thing that we're kind of missing. Tim and Fertitta's the one to say, hell yeah, we retired his jersey. People might say, well, Tillman just got here as the owner of the Rockets. He's not, he hasn't been here throughout all of the history of the Rockets. And so, James Harden does deserve it. But as a player, objectively, what he did for the organization, he for sure should get his jersey retired. But retiring jerseys isn't based just off of what you did on the court or on the field or wherever it might be.
Yeah.
And that's where this is where we are.
If you do something extremely egregious, yes. But when you put up the numbers like he put up, mm-hmm. over the time period, if you are a first ballot Hall of Famer,
no question,
and you've been there for almost a decade,
yes, long time,
with an MVP,
yes,
taking your team,
and he got robbed out of another,
yes,
and he was in the conversation for another, yes,
right, and you almost get to the finals, and the thing that stopped you was that stupid ass dynasty that was put together. With Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson.
It was more Chris Paul's hamstring, but.
But I'm just saying, you still had that crew.
Because they had that team beat, but yeah.
That to run through to get to the finals. Nah, man. If Yao Ming, Clyde Drexler, Calvin Murphy, Moses Malone, Hakeem Olajuwon, Rudy Tomjanovich, those are the guys who retired. Great, great players in their own right. But James Harden should be right along with that group. Should be right.
All of those guys are, when you think of those guys, you think of H-Town. Like, those guys represent the city. Everybody you name. I don't think 10 years from now people are going to remember. They're going to remember that James Harden played for the Rockets.
Yao Ming,
but they're
going to
remember
H-Town.
Him. They're going to remember James Harden for being a Brooklyn Nets, because I think they have a legit chance of winning out there. That triumphant that they put together. I think people, because James has at least, what you think, 6-8 more years of play to where?
Maybe. I think
six
James
years of good play.
I think James has 2 more years of elite play.
Really?
Like elite. At 32.
Based off of what?
He's
Based off of what?
32. I don't think he's going to age like LeBron.
But his game is like, he's got an old man's game.
Like, I'm talking
about. So his old man's game, he doesn't need to just be playing in the clouds and stuff. I think James Harden is, he reminds me of how Hop's game is in football, to where he bodying people up physically. He doesn't have to play in the clouds to be an excellent player. James Harden's going to be damn good for the next 5-6 years.
I'm not going to say he can't be productive, but MVP level, I would say to age 35.
Well, the difference is the guys he has around him in Brooklyn, he doesn't have to do the things he did here at that level to where he got those stats that he got here in Houston. He's going to be putting up 25 points a game and getting 10 dimes and getting 8 rebounds, and that's what you're going to get out of James Harden. And he's going to be a part of a winner that I think can actually win a championship. So people are going to – I think people are going to – they might forget a little bit about James Harden, the Houston Rocket, because he's going to get so much clout for him being in Brooklyn right
this
now.
This is the people telling me I'm out of my mind. James Harden is to Houston what Melo is to Denver. I think you're out of your mind.
Is that a bad comparison? Let me think about it.
I don't think that's a bad comparison.
How long was Melo in Denver?
In Melo's 8 years, I don't know how long he was in Denver, but Melo did not put together consistency the way that James Harden did in his time, and he didn't lead. Melo didn't win an MVP. Melo didn't do any of that. Melo didn't.
No, but James Harden got everything he ever wanted, and they have the same number of championships.
I'm not saying that he didn't get everything he ever wanted.
But it's not even just that. It's you get everything you want, and then you leave. And the way you left, you acted like a turd.
I won't argue the way he left. I like your usage of turd. I'm not going to argue the way he left. But still, his 8 years, he is a top three player in his 8 years here.
Absolutely, and that's why he should be in the Hall of Fame.
And he should have his jersey retired for the Houston Rockets. There is no player who had played for an organization as long as James Harden did with the accolades that he got, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer whose jersey wouldn't get retired.
So should OKC retire Kevin Durant's number?
Hell yes.
I don't believe they have yet.
I'm not saying they have. OKC, he's the best player in the history of that franchise that led them to the finals and won an MVP. You're damn right. Him and Russell's jersey should be retired.
Guys that leave you in your prime. Like, all of these guys that have
he was there 8 years.
Yeah, but he still left them in his prime, and he won his championships elsewhere. People are not gonna think about Kevin Durant, the Oklahoma City Thunder guy. That's not how he's gonna be remembered. It's just not. So if you're French,
think OKC should not retire Kevin Durant's jersey?
To me, if they're doing it, it's almost like clout chasing. It's almost like, hey, we want to hold on to this guy because we weren't able to do anything close to what we – like while he was here, we were not able to achieve the ultimate goal. And since he's left, we haven't gotten anywhere close. So we're going to hold on to this guy. And so we're going to retire his jersey so he always feels like this is the place to come home. That's what it strikes me.
Come here tomorrow night, how do you think the fans are going to react to James Harden?
But what does that have to do with his jersey being retired? I don't know what that has to do with his jersey being retired.
Because it's all about the fans. The fans are the reason sports exists. So why are you going to retire a dude's number hanging in the rafters for the fans to stare at every time they go to a game when the guy spat in their face on his way out the door?
Because some things about the, if you gave all of the decision making power to fans, is not always the smart thing because fans
think that's fair.
In a certain way.
That's
right,
fair
to make decisions on that. Right.
I'm not saying should build contracts.
James, there are three players, and I'm going to say this, and you might get off, and maybe we need to go to the next break. But I will say this: there are three players in the history of the Houston Texans whose jersey damn sure should be retired. That's 99, uh-huh. That's 10 in my opinion, and that is 80.
So you put 10 in front of 23, like easily, like you just throw it out there, like 10's ahead of 23.
Yes, yes. To me, those three, their jerseys.
I think that's recency.
Those three jerseys. I'm telling you what I think. Those three jerseys should be retired.
I know, and it's because you weren't here when 23 was doing his thing. That's why.
Okay, I just think those three jerseys should be retired, and I think James Harden's career in his sport is better than all three of theirs in theirs. And I, And so,
but for the reasons that I've told you earlier,
and JJ could get his jersey retired without all of the great things he did with Harvey.
But for the reasons that I said to you earlier, I'm not going to ever expect number 10's jersey to be retired in Houston or number 23. There's going to be somebody wearing number 10 next year probably for the Texans. Like it becomes subjective, not based off of what you did on the field. Like, it becomes subjective. And so James Harden, it strikes me as almost as like clout chasing. Like, he did everything that you would have wanted him to do as far as putting up numbers and consistently keeping you competitive and winning MVPs. And those, he's had an amazing career. And those things objectively make you a Hall of Famer, make you somebody that would be worthy of, getting your jersey retired. But when you talk about being clutch, I'm saying these are things that factor into people's whose jerseys get retired. Nostalgic memories that they conjure up when you think about them. Rudy T, Clyde Drexler, Olajuwon. These things, they conjure up memories and things that, hey, we got to retire that jersey. James Harden really doesn't have that part of it on his side. And so,
all right, people saying I'm high. I see the phone lines are full, 713-572-4610. We'll get your thoughts on this. And Texans news flying full force. And I'm trying to give Nick Caserio a chance. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Are you all surprised? I am getting crushed on the text line on this one. And I understand that this is the fan part really strolling through. If you missed it, Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Houston Rockets, said he will one day he will retire James Harden's jersey. Now, I think it was silly as hell to talk about that right now when he's coming in with the Nets and how everything ended. But to retire James Harden's jersey, the thing that comes to my mind is, yeah, Shaq is tall. Me and Wade are black.
Hold on, Joe.
This is true. No question.
Clint's in Mexico. I mean, it makes sense.
At least that's what he says he is. I know for sure I'm black, though. I don't know if Clint's actually in Mexico.
You're right. But you're right. That's not as
not sure. Quite the same as guaranteed.
I mean, to me, it makes total sense. But I just I love the emotion I hear from and I'll get to your call, 713-572-4610. I can hear it from Tyler's voice, because to me it's just like saying, and I understand where you're coming from with the JJ thing, with everything that JJ has along with him in terms of Hurricane Harvey and money that he is given and all the things that he's done, right? But I don't think that has a huge deal. Like, if he did none of that, mm-hmm. JJ's jersey still will and should be retired for the Houston Texans because of his play on the field and what he did superseded it and was so impressive. And it was stuff that we've only seen a couple people in the history of the sport do.
Right.
Warrants that. The same. That's how I feel about James Harden, right? You don't need Harden's play and what he did. You don't need a championship. Like to have it. You don't need a championship for his jersey to be retired. And I want to hit Sleazy with this. If you know who Sleazy is, our beautiful producer, Tyler Mill.
Just the greatest producer in the world, Tyler T. Mill.
He was today. He played Mbop coming back, so that was terrible.
He did
but
that.
So I'm just curious, Tyler, would you think, because you sound like you think this is outrageous, would you think this would not be outrageous? Would you have the same feeling if he was traded in a different way?
Yeah, if he wouldn't acted like a turd on the way out? Yeah, I'd be good with it.
Really?
See, that's the part about it.
That right kind of diminishes me, like the argument.
So, well,
no,
so,
it,
so
my argument
weeks,
is completely about how he acted. I don't want to honor that dude.
So there's people.
That's what I'm saying. So he was a guy that should have his jersey retired, but before he had a couple of press conferences,
yeah,
The fan base defended him for years, his style of play, over and over, the not showing up in clutch situation, defending him over and over, and then he just craps on everyone? Yeah, that's my argument.
So, but see, that part of it is the nuts and bolts of it. That's the meat and potatoes of why you don't retire his jersey, because he doesn't have a moment. He doesn't have that clutch moment that you said.
It's not even about that. It's about
just
the way the fan base loved him and embraced him in moments when maybe we shouldn't have. And
but
then
not everybody
still,
did that. A lot of people were not James Harden's fans for the longest.
You're right.
For a very long time.
But the main thing for me is just the way he left, the way he acted on his way out the door. He acted like a child. He acted like a turd. I don't want to honor that. I don't want to honor that guy.
It's interesting.
Does he get
out the door if he doesn't act that way? And then because of that, does that make the act not as personal? Like, you don't take it as personal, because that's the only way he could have left the city is by doing it the way he did it.
I don't buy that, because I think a lot of guys, you know, end up getting what they want in a trade without acting like the way he did. So I just can't honor that. And I think that's what it's all about. I think it's an honor thing.
Yeah.
But
no, I don't love the way he acted. But that dude, you know what he did? That man about played every game. He was out there every game playing. And even when he was trying to get up out of here, he was still playing. He was still here with that so-called with the ankle thing. He was still here. He came in out of shape as hell. He wasn't even out of shape, though. He put on a jacket or something.
How do you lose 20 pounds in like 2 days? I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he had a jacket on, but how was that? He didn't have soda weight loss, bro.
Yeah, that wasn't soda.
He didn't know about soda weight loss, because if they would have if I would have known he was on soda, I'd believed it. But I'm just saying, it was interesting the way he went about doing it. He shot slugs on his way out the door, but that's what he felt like he needed to do to get out the building.
But as long as he didn't Aaron Hernandez somebody. Or do something just really, really insane on his way out.
A two-week period
to me doesn't all of a sudden say, nope, nope, I completely feel different about him going.
Look at it this way, Sho. And I know he has all the accolades personally that you would want, that you would objectively say he deserves to be. But most players, and the text line said this, and I completely agree with it, most players, if not all players that get their jersey numbers retired, are beloved by the fan base, the city, the organization. All of that plays into it. James Harden is not beloved in the city of Houston.
I wouldn't even say not right now.
There's been so much of a significant group of people that say, we'll never win with Harden, we'll never win with Harden. We hate how he plays in clutch situations. He disappears when it matters most. We don't like his style of play. All that stuff that Tyler was talking about that people defended him for, those people that defended him all those times, those people, and that's a large amount of people, rode with James Harden. That's our guy. But is that enough? Is that base of people that are Harden supporters throughout thick and thin, is that enough for you to say, yeah, this guy deserves to get his jersey number retired? Because there's people that are going to walk into that facility and say, walk into Toyota Center, like, man, why is that up there? Like, he don't supposed to have that jersey. And it's a significant amount of, but I don't think it's a handful of people that feel that way. And so usually when there's a debate,
10, 15 years that people will still feel that way.
That's a good question. Because there were people in Green Bay
who had real issue with Brett Favre. And how things ended with Brett Favre, and how he held the organization hostage year in and year out, and then he went and played for the Minnesota Vikings, and they went out there like they're one of their arch rivals, and he played for them and almost got them to a Super Bowl. There were some people who had some hard feelings towards Brett Favre in Green Bay, but they retired his jersey, and eventually people were out there clapping their hands for him.
I think that's a good example.
Some people didn't like how much cocaine Lawrence Taylor was using with the Giants.
Nah, I don't know about that one. That's completely
maybe
off
there are
the
some
field.
People who
but
really enjoyed
I think that's a good example. But the difference is in Green Bay, they had Aaron Rodgers and they continued to be good and they won a Super Bowl. So it's easier for you to forgive somebody when they quote unquote leave you high and dry, but you still balling. So it really ain't affecting the wins
so
and losses. You can still talk
because they got John Wall.
I mean, right now we're talking about 12 straight losses. This is not the time to announce that you.
I don't know. I don't agree with the reason they announced it, but I don't know.
This is a weird time to announce.
Hey, I got a great point show from the text line, Willis. I'm going to let you jump in because I want to hear from the people. Willis, what's your thoughts when you hear that the Rockets want to at some point retire James Harden's jersey?
I think you're half right about it. They should make a big spectacle, get like that baby boy dude with the purse, and raise that Joker way up to the top of the stadium and set it on fire, and then hold him down and cut his beard and send him out of here.
Hold him down and cut his beard. Thank you, Willis.
It's gonna start a fire.
Aaron, I'll let you jump in here. Aaron, what's your thoughts about Harden getting his jersey retired?
First of all, Brett Favre won a title for him and broke records. Second of all, Harden should not be – there wasn't a two-week stint where he was just being a total turd to us. What about the times where he would go and get drunk and then not be at practice or film study? Yeah, he'd go get lit and give us triple doubles. He didn't win us nothing. He wasn't clutch. He just had no heart.
Go on the floor and give us – listen, I want – and I appreciate the call, Aaron. And yes, Brett Favre won a title, I would ask. Would that change your whole mindset if Harden won a title?
I think if Harden won a title, I think a lot of people would have forgiven him and been like, yeah.
You're probably right. He could act like a turd.
That makes a difference because if he won a title, that means he was clutch. There's a lot of things that
– or Chris Paul was.
Oh, yeah, Chris Paul didn't get hurt. But I'm just saying, like, that makes a huge difference in how someone views you because once you win that title, you can't really tell – you can't tell me nothing about the teams that won titles, my teams that won titles – you can't tell me nothing about certain players on that team.
And
they really ain't that great.
And I understand because I put a lot into the title. But, man, Yao Ming's in there, dog. And I'm sorry. And this may just be my – I don't understand it because I ain't from here. I'll be damned. If Yao Ming is in the retired uniform category, then James effing Harden is in the retired uniform category as well. Shoot, Robert Horry should be up there. 25 should be up in them damn rafters. If Yao Ming's in there, Otis Thorpe should be in them damn rafters. If Yao Ming is in there, Vernon Maxwell should be up in them rafters. If
a
Yao
lot of those
Ming
players you're naming are beloved, though,
should be in
a
there.
Lot of those players you named are beloved by the city of Houston.
There wouldn't be
a huge argument against them, even though you're watering down the amount of people that's in getting their jersey retired. You ain't gonna be able to play games. You're gonna run out of numbers, but. I'm just saying all those names you listed, Robert Horry, Vernon Maxwell, those type of dudes, they're beloved in this city. They won championships.
I didn't know I had Otis Thorpe. Didn't know I was able to pull that one out of my ass. Kevin, you get the last thoughts on this. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, first of all, I can't even believe you. I love Maxwell, but when he did his disappearing act right in the middle of the playoffs, and you think he should be up there? Show, what is wrong with you?
I don't think he should be up there.
He was being facetious.
That is a ring of honor. That is a ring of honor. And if you don't treat this city the way that ring exemplifies, then you should not be up there. Yao Ming, he was like JJ. He may not, in his field, he was like JJ. I remember when Yao Ming Yao Ming took Shaq to school. He just didn't have the supporting cast. Yao Ming was a great center. And for you, to me, it sounds like you didn't even watch him.
No, I did watch. No, please don't compare Yao Ming to Shaq. Please don't do that. Yao Ming was not a great center.
I thought he compared him to JJ Watt.
He said he's a great center, and he did you see what he did to Shaq?
He did used to give Shaq the business. He just got hurt too
consistently,
often.
Did he? Come on, man.
Yao
was a good player, and Yao didn't have the longevity, man. This dude, 8 years here. 8 years. He was one of the top three players in the game, and sometimes without a second star, got you to heights that you shouldn't have been in. He sat there with a broken down Chris Paul at any moment you thought something was going to go, and eventually it did. He had them up against the Golden State Warriors that had Durant, that had Curry, that had Draymond, that had Klay Thompson. Listen, I don't think he's clutch. I came on here and talked about him in that game seven when people tried to act like that block he had against OKC made me forget about how awful he was during the third and fourth quarters in that game. But, man, I ain't going to sit here and act like this dude ain't the second best player in the history of the organization.
He is.
And his number needs to be retired. I don't have a problem with it.
Needs to be. I think it's subjective. It's going to happen because Tillman Fertitta said it's going to happen, and he's the one that controls it. So it's going to happen.
And I bet
is the fan base going to be excited about it?
Nah,
it's going to be a significant amount of people that's going to be like, nah, I ain't with that, bro. Like, we're seeing it. I'm hearing it. We heard it the whole time he was here. That's the thing about it. The whole time James Harden was here, there was always a significant amount of the fan base that did not rock with James Harden.
Look, correct.
And sometimes you had to stand on the table for him. Like, yeah, but he did X, Y, and Z. But nah, there was things that he did and things that he didn't do that rubbed people the wrong way. And so when you're talking about retiring jerseys and then the way that he went out the building, I can understand it. I get it. Objectively, he should be. But subjectively, nah, Chief.
Okay. Well, Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Clint's out. Wade Smith is in. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer and John Harris will keep things rolling. And one thing I want to do here, Wade, and we've talked about it, I do want to bring some level of how can the Texans jump out of this? How can the Texans move out of this? And how can they turn the page to see some light? And I feel like there is a duty to me to stop seeing Tyler walk around here and moping. and to some of you who are looking for the light. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. But, Wade, you seem to be more apt to give Nick Caserio a chance. And Nick Caserio made the move on the head coach. I was out.
Yeah.
That was it. I was out.
Yeah.
Done. Dunsky. Now, I want to try to give that a chance. All right. I'm willing to come to the table to give Nick Caserio another shot. All right. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm in. All right. You have tried to make some convincing arguments why you are giving Nick Caserio a shot. I think there are some people out there who may not want to admit that they think like me, because some people just don't want to say that they think the way that I do. But there are some out there secretly who have given up all hope on Nick Caserio that need to be brought back. This is where I want to try to get brought back. Help people understand why maybe Nick should get another chance.
Let me ask you this question.
All right, I'm real.
Are you out on Nick because of extenuating circumstances that are beyond his control, or are you out on Nick because of Nick and what he brings to the table? Because I focus my attention on what Nick himself can bring to the table and what I've seen him do. I'm going to base it off of that. There's things that might happen above his head or, you know, other factors that are beyond your control. You have no idea how it's influencing him or moving him or making things happen that I really can't factor in and point the finger at him for certain things going wrong. So is it because, hey, Nick Caserio, he was unqualified. He shouldn't be in this role. He's only got the job because Jack Easterby was here. I don't think you can logically or reasonably or have any kind of basis to say that's the case, that he's unqualified for the position. He's done an excellent job in his role the entire time he was in New England, and he's doing things now here that are very reminiscent of New England, and so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt to start off with. Like I've been saying the last few days, April 29th is D-Day for me. Because if April 29th come and goes and Deshaun Watson is still the quarterback and he's still sitting out for the Houston Texans, then I have no basis to believe in him any further.
That's the spot to me. For me, it is like the first couple of moves that he made, and they were major moves. One, he introduced himself for the first time. One of his first introductions, he wore that horrible flannel jacket. He looked like he was on an episode of MASH. And so that was something that threw me off. And then he hired David Culley with all of the other coaches that he had at his disposal to potentially choose. and he went that way. Those two major league decisions makes me wonder, okay, we all know that Belichick had a lot of decision power making. And I'm like, God, you sat next to Belichick for 20 years and you settled on David Culley. But I'm out of it. Slate's clean, Nick. Team Nick. All the way until this Deshaun Watson decision comes up. Texans All Access behind us. Sleazy, love the passion. Although you were wrong, I do enjoy the passion from you. Wade, great job as always. I'm Ron, the show, Hugh Glee. And Houston, we love you, baby. You can't put deodorant on funk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.